talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com. The number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Homer, you've got to get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle, If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome on, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday
for free association. When we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is Jim Fetzer inviting you to join me on The Raw Deal, Revolution Radio, Studio B, Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific, JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, the latest on politics and foreign affairs from an unconventional point of view. Come join Revolution Radio Tuesday, Thursday, Studio B.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. You've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. But at a day, and many men have given up their lives for America, and in return, America is becoming a hellhole. That is the way that America is saying, thank you. Take away the freedom. Take away speech and Second Amendment. Take it away. The men died so that we can lose freedom, not to stay free. What a mess, huh? So think about that this day. We lost more freedom. It seems as though the more men that die, the more freedom we lose. In the United States of America,
What a mess. What a mess. You can listen to the show today while you're out and about by going to TalkStream Live. Listen line 717-567-4971. 717-567-4971. And then we have all kind of ways you can watch and support the show on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. Listed there, all right? JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And, of course, follow JLP Talk on Twitter. JLP Talk on Twitter. And we'll stream it on Cozy TV. Cozy.tv. Cozy.tv and Odyssey, odyssee.com/@JesseLeePeterson. So we're out there. It is happening. Amazing fellowship yesterday. Really, really lots of participation. And I like that because we are edifying and one another. It's not just somebody teaching you. I like to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Not because someone said it, but because you know for yourself. You got to start relying on you because the world gone crazy. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Tell me about the good old days. The world gone crazy. So last week, biblical question was, do you dance to your own music? Do you dance to your own music? And by the way, if you were not there yesterday present at the fellowship and you didn't get a chance to watch it live online, you can podcast the Sunday service by going to rebuildingtheman.com/church. Rebuildingtheman.com/church. And I recommend you do. I highly recommend, as a matter of fact. Because if you want to be free in a messed up world, you got to become an individual. You must become an individual. Because the world gone crazy, emotionally crazy. I've never seen so much emotions in a world as it is today. And it's like everybody, the men and the women, the males and the female, there is no division at all. Normally, it's the female who's like that. But the men are not normal. At one time, they were not like that. So they were correct. There are the emotions in the woman. But now the men are as emotional as the woman, so there's no correction. And it's just getting worse, going downhill. The reactionary of people is mind-blowing to me. Overreaction to the world can make you feel emotion. They can make you feel fake good and fake anger, just up and down. What a mess. What a mess. And so, last week, biblical question. Do you dance to your own music? And so, we didn't do a lot of talk about that, but I heard this older guy, older than me, tell a story about how there was a young man growing up, and he wanted to play music, but he wasn't for sure what he wanted to play. So he went about and learned about different music, different style of music, rock and roll, soul music, country and western, the wahs, all kind of music, right? And finally he decided, I don't think this guy said country western, but just for the sake of the story, the guys decided, you know what, I'm going to become a country and western musician. So he worked hard at it. And he finally got it down pat. And as a result of that, he started to get jobs playing country and western music at different events. And he would go and play, and it would be really good, and the people loved it. Then he started making buku money from it. And the more he played, the more he got invited to play, making money. And then finally, the people wanted him to play other music too. So he would kind of accommodate them by playing other music, but his thing was country and western. And eventually, he found himself playing different music other than country and western. And he did very well with that. But he noticed at the end of every event, even though he was popular, made a lot of money, he wasn't happy anymore playing different kind of music because he liked country and western and did very well with that. And so he continued to play, and then he realized, you know, I'm not playing the other music anymore. I'm playing country and western. And he went back to strictly playing country and western music. And once again, did very well. And he made some money, and the people want other requests, but he wouldn't do it. And he made less money, but he noticed that at the end of each event, he felt fine. He felt himself. There was no conflict. There was no disappointment, no worry inside of him because he was doing his thing, playing his own music. And the moral of the story is he was his own person. He was his own man. He wasn't tossed to and fro from by the world around him. He didn't try to please other people, but he did his thing. And I have to tell you, that is missing. That is missing in the world today. It's hard to find men who are individual doing their thing and not second guessing themselves and trying to do what everybody else want them to do, be like everyone else, and blah, blah, blah. It's hard to find that today. It really is. But when I was growing up, it was just it. It was hard not to find men who were individuals and did their thing. My grandfather was like that. My father, my stepfather, and other men that I knew growing up, they were individuals. And they didn't go from this to that. They weren't into what everybody else thought they should do. Or they were themselves. And so through the fathers, that were passed down to the sons. That's gone now. It is gone now. The attack on men, by the way, is pure evil. It really is. And it starts in the home with the mothers and grandmothers. And then it goes out into the world. Other women and weak men attacking men. It's no wonder crime going up. The men are totally lost. They are angry. They don't know what to do with themselves. So I want to encourage you to become your own man. Your own man. Your own woman. Your own man. And cut out all the anger and emotions and the crap. It doesn't even make sense. It really just doesn't make sense. Look like somebody, some male would say, you know what? I'm not going along with this mess. Even if I have to be alone, I'll just be a lone individual. Dance to your own music. Dance to your own music. It's hard to find. The fathers are not there with the children raising them anymore, the boys and the girls. And the mothers are screwing them up. And nowadays, these women want to be like men. They don't want to breastfeed their kids or anything because they want to be out working. And as a result, the kids are depressed, lost, lonely, unloved, uncared for. And I don't know why you would want to make kids with women like that, to be honest, but the men are weak. the men are weak. We emotional, non-logical, non-thinking individuals. But you can come back to it, guys. Just pull away from the crowd and overcome the fallen state. You can get it back. It's still there. You just don't know it. Otherwise, goodbye, America. Goodbye, world. Because if the men don't lead, they are following the women, and it's right down into hell, right down into darkness. I'm looking at this a news item on Joe Biden. He went out to he and his little wife went out to Texas where the shooting happened. And when they arrived there, the people yelling, "Help us! Do something!" This is from the Texas Tribune. Joe Biden visited a church in Texas where he was confronted by grief-stricken family as they called for him to do something. That is so ridiculous, I can hardly stand it. Joe Biden can't do anything for you. Joe Biden's not going to do anything for you. And his response, "We will." How did grown people in America become so reliant on government to do something? You should be ashamed. Do something, do something. How about you do for yourself? And these women boohooing and carrying on, "Do something, do." And some of the men, instead of relying on their husbands or the children's father, they are relying on the government. Joe Biden and this administration want these things to be happening. They ain't going to do nothing. They can care less. All this fake emotion that everybody, not everybody, most people caught up in, that's all fake emotion. And as soon as that passed, they'll go to something else, and you're following them with that. It's all fake emotion. It's not even real. Joe Biden and the entertainers and the media and these fake preachers, and they can care less about you. You got to realize, too, that the government is just like everybody else. They come from messed up mamas and messed up daddies. And they are insecure, and they want power for themselves, just like everybody else who are in a fallen state. They want perceived power. They don't care about you. How are you crying out to weak Joe Biden, who doesn't even know he's in America, it seems, for help? Look what Joe Biden and this administration is doing to the country. They ain't helping you in the country. Gas prices, food prices, through the roof. And they know how to make it right. And they won't. They want you suffering. How are they asking you to do something? What has happened to the grown-ups? You're relying on wicked government whose hearts are wicked, like the average person's heart is today, because anyone who has anger is a wicked person and cannot be trusted. And they are for themselves, not anyone else but themselves. And so the government, the people who are in government are no different than the people who are not in government. I can't believe that these people are crying out to Joe Biden to do something. Help us. What the? This is not the American way. Help yourself. If you don't help yourself, ain't nobody going to give a hoop about you. The government is the same people that in your neighborhood, in your family, in you. They don't care about you. Look, they won't even drill oil. They won't do anything they want. And the money that we do have, they send it over to Ukraine. Figure. Go figure. And they're getting a little oil, borrowing oil, I guess, from somebody else. Or buying it, however they're getting it. It's the craziest thing I ever seen. I never thought that. Help us? This is in America. It doesn't even sound like America. And again, and I don't know Joe Biden medical history of what's wrong with him, or if anything's wrong. But he reminded me of a guy with Alzheimer's. He reminded me of my father. Joe Biden is being led around. Ain't nothing Joe Biden can do for you. And even if he was of a sound mind, there's nothing he can do for you. You're a grown person. Do for yourself. Do we have that soundbite, Chris? And here's the soundbite where these weak, pathetic, emotional, crazy people crying out to Joe Biden to help us. This is from the Texas Tribune, I believe, where Joe Biden visited Texas, and these weak, pathetic, emotional people crying out to Joe Biden to help us. Watch this. Wow, we need help. Do something. That sounds like a third world. This is not the American way. Do something. They cheer like cheerleaders. Two old people walking down the road. Joe Biden can't wait to get in the car and sit down. We will. What are you going to do? One thing I heard that he's going to do is he wants to tear down that school and build another. That ain't going to help you. That's not going to help you. You got to take charge of your own family, your own life. When did we get to the point in our country people cheering to the government, help us do something? With no shame. Zero shame about it. What has happened? Stupid people. Do something. Do something. How about you doing something? You see what happens when you turn your lives over to someone else or the government. Look at the state of black people today. Black people ain't worth a dime. And not all but most. Not all but most. Because 70 to 80 years ago, they turned their lives over to the so-called black leadership and the government. And look what they are into today. Crime and young men sitting around doing nothing, smoking dope, robbing, stealing, and killing. That's what happens when you turn your life over to the government or any so-called leader. You don't get better, you get worse. How about thinking for yourself and doing for yourself? That's the American way. That's the right way, not just the American way. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. If you did for yourself and thought for yourself and do for yourself and thought for yourself, you become a man. It's crazy what's going on. Help us do something to two old people that don't care about you at all. Joe Biden ain't going to help you. Look what they're intentionally bringing hell into America. Inflation into America. Intentionally, they refuse to shut down the borders. They refuse to do it. They don't want to do it. They want you to suffer. They want to be needed by you. And you're so weak and emotional, thinking that you have love. Because, oh, we cried over the kids. Oh, poor kids. And now you feel good. It's all ego. You're being pathetic. How about being tough when... In the good old days, they said when things got tough, you become tougher. When times get rough, you become rough. You don't lay down and cry. You don't overreact. You be still and overcome. Everybody all syrupy on the inside. No love, no strength. That is so ridiculous. Do something. Help us. Help us. Do dumb people. This is why the media and everybody are crying, because they want you weak in an emotional state. That's not normal. That's abnormal. That's not a normal state to be in. And we talked about normal state versus abnormal state yesterday. Anyone who has anger, fear, doubt, worry, insecurity, loneliness, overreaction, sad, and carried on, you're in an abnormal state. Suicidal thoughts. You identify with, not you. You're in an abnormal state. That's not normal. It's just not normal. But all abnormal states today are being pushed as normal states. It's being encouraged because you've allowed the women to take over and weak men. May God have mercy upon America. And it's not the physical country itself, it's the people in the country. Weak. I heard some stupid female counselor talking about, oh, everybody should cry. That's a normal. That's not normal. Let your feelings, feel your feelings. Your feelings are fine. No, it's not. We've gotten into feelings and look what's happened to the country. The country got weaker. And the men are following the women's suggestions of being into your emotions. Every time you listen to the woman, you will suffer. You will suffer. And men, the women need you. They can't help it. But it's a total abnormal. And ladies, it's abnormal for you too, to be honest. In the good old days when men, boys were boys and men were men, women weren't emotional like this. They were not emotional. So it's an abnormal state for you too, but it's normal, abnormal more for you than it is for men, since Satan is the woman's God until she overcomes. And the God above is the man God. So the God what above is the way to go. What the? Help us. These two old hags walking down the road, Joe Biden and his little stupid wife, and they are shouting, help us. What can Joe Biden do for you? There's not one thing he can do for you. Not one. You got to do for yourself. You must do for yourself. What a mess, huh? It sounded like we were in a third world with that kind of chanting. All this emotional crap is bad anyway. Everybody crying and carrying on, pretending. Because it's all ego. It's all pretend. They can care less about those people that were shot in Texas or anywhere else. The little black people that were shot in wherever, Rochester or some part of New York. Buffalo. They don't care about those people. They don't even know who they are. They don't even care. They don't feel anything. It's all fake. And the government want you to be that way so it can control you. How do you say, oh, I feel so bad. Lord have mercy. A shooting. Let's take away your rights to bear arms. How all that fit together? That doesn't fit. That doesn't go with sorrow. If anything, it should be let's arm everybody. You should, every teacher, every principal, everybody at the school should be armed. And don't let anyone know you're armed. And use it when you need it. That's the answer, and then it's over. Game over. How you disarm people in a crazy world like this, and the people go along with it? Because they're emotional. When you're emotional, you agree with anything. And men, don't be that way. When you get angry and emotional, check yourself. Don't call it good. Don't even call it bad, but check it so you can overcome it. It is happening so you can see it and overcome it. It's not for you to get deeper into it by overreacting and go join some other sorry emotional people. Emotional people are sick people. There's a time for everything, but it ain't no time for this kind of stuff. Don't be joining sorry people, especially men. It's sickening. It really is sickening. It's not attractive. And women hate weak men. They'll pull you in, but they'll hate you when they get you in. Because women need men as men need God. That's why these women are so emotional. And you're letting them push emotions as normal. Everybody emotional. They are, but they're not supposed to be that way. It's something you have to overcome. It's a fallen state. It's a fallen state. Emotion is not doing anyone any good. It just feeds the nature of the devil, the ego. A mess. I have a brand new biblical question. Brand new biblical question for this week. Do you have true courage? Do you have true courage? Do you have true courage? That is an amazing question. And again, these questions are put there so you can know that you know that you know that you know. We got to bring back men, you'll bring back America. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't go wrong, man. 888-775-3773. Quick break. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she would do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. I want to give you another quick example of a weak, pathetic example of what men have come to in America today. And it's not going to help America at all. And you, these stupid, dumb people in Texas chanting, help us, help us. Lost people. This is from Breitbart. You got to overcome this. Just look at your own personal life and see how unhappy you are being emotional. You're not happy being an emotional person, an individual. You're not happy being that way. Why stay that way? Overcome the anger. You will grow out of overreacting and you will be strong within. In America, an emotion society, and I know it's because you've allowed the women to take over, and now the men are afraid of the women because they have not overcome mama. It's a spirit. This is from Breitbart. A guy by the name of Trey Gowdy went on Fox Sunday night in America, Fox Sunday night in America, and issued a plea for change in the wake of last week's mass shooting. at a Texas elementary school that left 19 children dead. Watch this.
When 20 children were murdered at Sandy Hook Elementary School, I knew this country would do something. Hearing that children were killed again at school saddens every person of good conscience. But we should force ourselves to feel more than that. We should force ourselves to read the names of those children, know their names, know something about their lives, feel the pain of their parents and grandparents as best we can. So finally, maybe this country will get angry and tired and be resolved enough to stop the killing of school children. What's the best city or state or country to live in? One that feels the pain of others.
Now, that's a weak, pathetic, poor, pitiful excuse of a male. He might well put on a dress. He may well put on a dress. That doesn't eat, nothing that he said makes sense at all. It's all lies, all emotional. And he's supposed to have been a Republican. At one time, he was some type of Republican Congress or something like that. He was no good then, and he's no good now. And I've said over and over that the Republican Party is no different than the Democratic Party. A stupid former representative. I'm glad he's a former representative. Because what he just said is all emotional. It's not love. It doesn't mean anything. It's just fake. It's ego. And this is why the country is going to hell in a headbag because of so-called men like that, males like that. You got to feel everybody pain. Say their name. Would you, Black Lives Matter or something? Say their name. Say their name. For what? Because that feels good to the ego. That makes you feel like you care. He's a former representative from Republican from South Carolina. He was weak when he was in there. He's weak now. That's bad advice, folks. That's from a fake weak male. That's not what you do. Don't fall for it. It sounds good, but it's just good to the ego. It's not going to make your life better. It's not going to make your life better. And why is it going to be going around the country arresting everybody, little kids and everyone who, oh, they said they want to shoot up the school. You showing all this mess over and over again on the TV. What do you expect the children to do? They hear it. It's already exciting. It gets attention. The kids are said just for the fun. And then they'll use that as another reason to take away your Second Amendment. These people don't care about you. They care about perceived power for themselves. They want to control you. Look at the blacks. The blacks are under control, and they don't even know it. Except those who are fortunate enough to pull away and start thinking for themselves. And there are some who are doing that. I meet them all the time. But the majority of blacks are not doing that. And they are being controlled, and the same thing is happening to the country now. The government is no different than you. They came from the same kind of broken family you came from. Mother in control. Joe Biden is a mama's boy. At 80, 90 years old, however old he is, he's married to his mama. His kids are all screwed up. It's the same thing going on in your family. Why would you turn your life over to anyone? Why not overcome and take control of your own life? You'd do better. You would do better if you took control of your own life. Trey Gowdy is a, I can't say it. But he's that. He's pitiful. He's not a man at all. He's an emotional male, just like his mama, grandmama, whomever raised him. He has not overcome. That's so ridiculous what he said, and it's not even funny. That sounds just like the women. And the women are looking to the men to tell them how to overcome that. And he is encouraging what the women encourages. How the women going to get better if the men are weak? How? How now, brown cow? How? Roy is out of Baltimore. Roy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much, Jesse. Happy Memorial Day, sir.
Thank you. You too.
So I called actually a few months back in December, and I spoke to you a bit about God and how I had to overcome myself being a beta male, as you so often say on your show.
Yeah.
And being, you know, struggling with being a liberal myself, growing up in a conservative Asian Christian household, but I turned against values and traditional values and Christian beliefs when I was, you know, in starting middle school and early adulthood to kind of rebel. And it's, I won't go into details, but I, through a series of events, God broke me down, and I ended up paying the consequences for rebelling against the Lord, for being, you know, just kind of going against what was right. And I ended up paying the price. And I realized, I'm 22 now, but I realized at 20, 21, a couple years ago, still back in college, that I needed to give my life to the Lord, that living life without God, living life without, to live life going against what is good, against scripture, you know, it won't work out, that it all ends up with you paying a price. And you're watching your program has been a big help. When I first heard about you, I thought to myself, wow, this guy's insane. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I realized you were right all along.
Amazing.
The reason why I called back, to keep this brief, I have two cousins that they live in California, and they're very like secular, and they're like left-wing type of people. They're beta males. So what can I've been trying to get them to believe in God and all this stuff, and to, because they're in a similar, they're older than me, but they're, one of them is going to be a father soon. His wife is pregnant, but they're in a fallen state like I was a few years ago. And both of them are atheists. They don't even believe in God. And that's the most fundamental thing for them to get out of the fallen state, right? So I've been praying and asking God and speaking to them over the phone. And I visited California a couple of months ago to see them. But they, both of them, as well as their wives and, you know, their moms, my aunts, they are secular people, like, you know, none of them are Christians. And it's just very frustrating because I feel, I'm afraid that they may never give their lives to Christ because they're such hardcore atheists. They're like Richard Dawkins or someone like that. You know what I mean?
And so why do you feel that way?
Well, that's what they tell me, is that they're secular people. I try to tell them about God, about Jesus, but they reject the truth.
But why do you feel anything about it?
What do you mean by that?
You say you feel like they're going to not make, come back to being, something like come back to being a Christian and all that kind of believe in God. Why are you bothered by it?
Well, it's not that they won't come back even Christian, Jesse. They were never Christian to begin with.
Right.
That's the problem.
What's your question for me?
And so what, I mean, I'm just so desperate for them to receive Jesus in life, and I feel like I've done everything I can, but I feel like they're not going to become
Christian. What's your question for me?
And that makes me very sad.
What's your question for me?
What can I do to, like, you know, I try praying and telling them about God. What can I do to get them to believe in God, you know? I don't want them to go to hell, right?
And so your question for me is what?
What can I do to get them to become Christian?
Nothing.
Is there anything I can do?
Nothing. And why are you so desperately trying to get them to do it?
So they won't go to hell.
Why do you care about that?
Because they're my cousins and they're family.
But if God doesn't care, why do you care so much?
I like to think that God does care about them.
Why you would like to think that?
Because I was once in a fallen state, and God rescued me from that place.
Right, because you sought and you want it out. They don't want it. When they want it, they'll find it too. They don't want it. And until they want it, they just live a life of hell. God is not going to intrude on something that they don't want. He'll let them die and go to hell. And he'll just make more babies until he finally gets somebody to say, okay. But if God would let them just suffer in it, why do you care so much? Are you greater than God?
And, you know, I grew up with them. That's why.
But God made them.
He did.
And so,
and they don't recognize them.
And so if he is okay with letting them suffer and die and go to hell, why are you so bothered by it? I'm just asking. It's not like I just want to understand why are you so into it like that?
Because I was once in their place on a path of destruction. I see where they're headed, and as I just said, one of them.
But there was nobody. There was nobody could do anything about your situation until you were ready to change, and that's when you changed, right?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
So why not leave them to their own darkness until they're ready to change?
I guess it's...
Does it feel like you love them because you care so much?
Yeah. Well, I have sympathy for them.
That's ego. That's not love.
I guess so. You're suggesting that we just let them fall on their own swords, right?
What else can you do?
Because I mean, we can't force them to be Christian, right?
Right. So why are you trying to... You say you're 22 years old, right?
Right. And so
why are you trying to force them visiting and trying to push them into it? You're doing what the Bible thumpers do. You're pushing them further away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one way to put it.
That's the way it is. And you get a good, holy, false feeling that you're so righteous because you know the way, and you're going to just force this on them because you care. But all you're doing is fulfilling the ego. You're not overcoming.
Right. I see what you mean. But what concerns me the most, as I said, one of them, they're both older than me. One of them is about to be a father for the first time. His wife is pregnant.
And why are you concerned about that?
His child is going to be raised secular.
Why are you concerned about that?
Because his child, my nephew, is a boy. Is
but ain't
be
your
grown.
Child, why are you concerned?
Well, I mean, I guess it's part of the family, right?
Why are you concerned?
Just because he's a relative. Well, he will be a relative.
The real reason concern, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you care, but you don't care, because if you care, you would not impose on them.
I suppose.
You think that you have found a way, now you got to force it on someone else. That's not love. That's all ego, man.
I guess.
Think about it. It's all ego. If God doesn't impose, he'll let you be a homeless, drug addict, whatever you decide to stay. He'll let you be that. He made the way. You want to say, if you don't seek that way, then you just suffer and die. No loss, no gain. Are you greater than God?
No, sir.
So then why are you acting like you think you're greater than God by imposing on someone else?
Man. It's a tough one.
What's tough about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I never thought of it like that. I always thought that I was trying to do them a favor by trying to tell them the truth.
You've already mentioned it to them, and they're not ready. Back off. Let them suffer and die. Let them suffer until they're ready. There's nothing you can do. Nobody can make another person change. You can't make a person change from hate to love. You just wish them well, and that's your prayer for them, to wish them well, but that's it.
Right.
You got a lot of more work to do on yourself right now. You can't even help yourself yet. How can you help them? And they know that you're on an ego trip. That's why they don't want to listen to you, because you're imposing on them.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of it like that.
Get to know yourself, man. You're not paying attention to self.
Right.
You're this big man. Oh, they're getting married. They're having a baby. Let me save them. You can't save anyone.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's tough, you know.
What's tough?
It's just it's a rough situation, like you said, for everyone, you know?
How's a rough situation for everyone? What do you mean?
Well, you know, like you mentioned, it's just I've got to work on myself as well. I've got a lot more work to do.
You got to overcome the ego, man, because you're on an ego trip right now. You like the people
right.
who go downtown to feed the homeless, the Christians who feed the homeless, and they feel good about feeding the homeless people, but they're not happy within themselves. Because as soon as they get home from feeding the homeless person, they're back in misery. And so you got a false feeling of trying to help these people that don't want your help.
Right. So that's the question. Why don't they want my help?
Because they have a right not to want it. Why, the question should be, why are you trying to impose on them? Come back to your phone.
Just like you said, I guess it makes me feel good. I don't know.
It does. It makes you feel righteous.
Exactly.
And then you judge them because they won't accept it, so they're bad people. And you're better because you know the Lord. You're on an ego trip.
But do you think it's possible? My final question is, do you think it's possible they might be on an ego trip themselves because they're so against advice and help from others?
It's not about them. It's about you. Keep your eyes on yourself. Don't worry about them. And see what you're doing.
Right. I don't know. I just,
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
Sorry, say that again?
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
Not every morning, not every night, but I try to keep them in my prayers when I do pray.
So how are you going to help them? How are you going to help them and you're not even getting help yourself? You can't see what you're doing.
I guess I'm being a hypocrite. I don't know.
You are.
Yeah.
You're being a mama.
So it sounds like to me, if I understand, I just want to make sure I understand you correctly. So it sounds like to me, you think I'm no better than them.
You're not.
So do you believe that I've overcome the fallen state? I believe I have, or do you still think I'm still in there?
That's something you need to know for yourself, and that's why you need to do the silent prayer and watch the thoughts and see, and then you will know. But right now you're on an ego trip. You need to leave these people alone. If they want to help, they're asking for it. Or if you offer it and they want it, they're accepting. If they don't accept it, you leave them alone and live your life. You become an example. Don't be like mama.
Right.
Oh, y'all about to have a baby. Oh, my Lord. Mama got to save you. I got to run to I'm looking at Clarkson. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, you're welcome. Amazing. Super chat. Super. I know. We don't have time, huh? What a mess. When I come back. Oh, I see your note, Chris. I didn't see that. When I come back for super chats and more phone calls, 2 more hours to go. Back in a moment. Here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Sleazy Joe went to Uvalde, Texas to comfort the families. And I got some news updates for what's coming this week. It's not good. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Monday, Memorial Day, May 30th, 2022 AD. Stay tuned for hour two. Jesse Lee will be right back. But first, take news, not fake news. Last Monday in May is Memorial Day. Commie Nonsense Network reports that all U.S. financial markets, as well as banks, schools, post offices, libraries, and federal offices are typically closed today. And many people see Memorial Day as the unofficial start of summer, even though it starts later in June. But in some parts of the U.S., it will feel like Groundhog Day. More than a foot of snow. Could fall in some western portions of the United States, or could have fallen this weekend, this holiday weekend. Meanwhile, in the eastern half of the country, we'll see above average temperatures.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
talk.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the grand meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello and welcome to Plato's Cave on WZZR, coming to you from Australia for Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. How cool is that? It's home to fresh, relatively uncensored ideas and conversations in the chat room. They're mostly uncensored. And a place to get your merch, if you're so inclined. The station is not beholden to anyone, but it does require your support. Please donate, subscribe, buy some of that awesome merch. And then, by the way, any money type kind is good, right? The folding kind that jingles, the money orders, the checks, the cryptocurrencies, the whatevers. Whatever you want to offer up is a goodness as far as we are concerned. All right? So it all helps to keep the station on the air. Right? That's really important. Electricity still costs money. Who'd have thunk it? This is show number 64. 64. Yes, it is 64, 4 and 60. That went quickly. I got to say, I guess there's this time flies when you're talking about the puppet show that's been played in front of your eyes all your life without you knowing it, and leaving you completely clueless as to the true nature of reality. That's right. I think tonight I'm flying solo. That's okay. You can catch The Cave on air, online, on your smart device, so grab an app to listen anywhere, or listen at home on a greatest tabletop digital radio. Or come to the website and check out the archives. There's a whole bunch of content there. I know people are content hungry. Here it is. If you're a producer that pays a lot of money for stuff, there's oodles of content here that you could turn into some pretty dollars, right? If you pay us. You gotta pay us. That goes without saying. But there's content here, a lot of content, a lot of guests, a lot of people's opinions, a lot of people's research. Opinions you might not find anywhere else. And that's important. It's important to have a vast variety, a cornucopia of fresh ideas, a plethora, a smorgasbord of discussion, debate, and discourse. That's how we drive the human race forward. Now, before I start broadcasting at you in anger, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which I broadcast. And for me here in the freezing Pemmel way, it's the Dharug people. And with that, I would like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and future. And good morning, Comet, to you. Different time for us here in Australia. That's why I'm in Australia. the land down under. Only if you take a north-centric view of the world. If you take a south-centric view of the world, then you are in the land down under, up in the north there, northern hemisphere and all that. Anywho, Australia is just gone through an election, or has gone through an election. We've elected a new government, the Labour Party, which would be, I guess, the more worker focused party, just to give you an idea as to who that might be. It's not really equivalent in the States. In the States, it's split between Republicans and the Democrats. You've got the conservatives and the, I guess, the progressives, I guess, to some extent. Not really the same kind of split here. Liberals are more aligned to the, I guess, the moneymakers. And I guess that might make them conservative. And the Labour Party is more aligned to the working class, which might make them more socially aligned, I guess. But the comparisons don't really hold 100%. But it's a two-party system, and that's a completely failed system. As far as I'm concerned, I even have my doubts about democracy, at least the way we practice it. It's a rigged system with one outcome in mind. And that outcome is to affect as little real change as possible. Right? Change, sure, yeah, we're all going to have some taxes, and we're going to have some policies, and we're going to have some, I don't know, healthcare, or what else? What's the big catch thing for greenhouse gas and global warming and all that? We're going to do something about that. Yeah, sure. But no real change. And by real change, I mean fundamental change to our society, the way we operate as human beings on the larger scale, because that's failed. We're living in a failed civilization right now. That's bold, big words there, Mackie. Not really. If you look at the situation that we're in, all of us, right? A very large portion of the world lives in poverty, okay? And by poverty, I don't mean they don't have two TVs, right? Or they're only driving one car. Now, I'm talking about people that living below what we consider the existential minimum, okay? And how many people is that? How many people? I'll give you a number here, right? Now, these numbers are they accurate? Well, they're pretty close, I think, but they're the best numbers we have. 689 million people live in extreme poverty, or what is termed extreme poverty, which means, as a definition, they live on less than $1.90 a day. And I think that's US dollars. So $1.90, $2. They have less than $2 a day to live. I dare any of you to live on $2 a day. That's everything. It's rent, food, clothing, anything and everything. So that everything is covered by $2 in your life. $2 a day. $2 a day. Okay? Just shy of $800 a year. Maybe that puts it in perspective. Right? Could you live on $800 a year? Yeah? Now, for you Americans out there, because there's a fairly large chunk of you listening, which is awesome. Love you all. In America, the estimate is that 10.5% of the population live in poverty. 10.5%. That's 34 million people. That is more than the population of Australia. 34 million people live in poverty. And we've got 2,668 billionaires. 2,668 billionaires. Thousands of people are starving every day. Thousands. Tens of thousands by some estimates. Costs about $4 to feed a child, probably about $5, $6, maybe $10 to feed a grown up a day, to feed them a day. That's how much it costs. Now, I just said that about 689 million people live on $2 a day. And if it, on average it costs $4 a day to feed the child, you can see how we have a problem, right? All right, and that's why we've got people starving to death by the thousands. By the thousands! Well, millions, really, on an annual basis. People are starving to death by the millions. That means they don't have enough food. That's it. There's just no food for them to eat. That's why they die. They don't have a disease. I mean, they might get disease, you know, through malnutrition and things like that. But they're dying because they don't have anything to eat. And yet we have got 2,668 billionaires. And you still don't think we live in a failed civilization? Okay, let's look at some other things here. How is it that it's always the same people that seem to be in power or stay in power? I mean, depending on how old you are, you probably have never seen anyone but Putin in charge of Russia, right? If you're in your 20s, you're probably consciously only aware of Putin. Fair enough. Same with the Kim family. In Korea, you only would ever have seen them in charge, right? All of us have only ever seen Republicans or Democrats in charge of America, no other parties, right? Labor, liberal in Australia, you know, various other parties all around the world, but they haven't changed. Either the people, like the actual persons, haven't changed, or the political parties, the machines, haven't changed. If something doesn't change, it means it doesn't change. As double Dutch as that sounds, but why would it change? Why would it? People are clearly mollified enough to just keep going the way they are, right? Until the 34 million in the States, that is, become 100 million. What will happen then? What happens if 30% of the population in the United States? And I'm just picking on the United States because it's always meant to be the shining beacon for democracy in Western society and you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I'm picking. No other reason. Okay, 34 million now, but imagine in a few years' time, and as things go from bad to worse, you know, with a whole bunch of, you know, economic downturn, climate change, or if you don't believe in climate change, more extreme weather seems to be happening. And if you don't think it's related to climate change, that's okay, but the weather is happening anyway, right? More snowstorms, more blizzards, hotter, more arid summers, more rainfall, more fires, more storms, more everything, more floods. So that's going to get worse, right? And at the same time, we have got this push of capital, of wealth, toward the top, right? So there's a real mismatch of wealth distribution in the world, okay? Only very few people globally own the wealth, okay? Now, again, a number. Is it accurate? Maybe not 100%. Okay, so this is really interesting. Okay? The wealthiest 1% of people in the world have more than double the wealth of 6.9 billion people combined, while millions of people remain in extreme poverty. So the top 1%, top 1%, so let's call it 8 billion, round it up, right? So the top 1% own more than the remaining, 99%, but double, more than double than 6.9 billion people combined. We still don't have a problem. No problem here. Now, what happens in an economy like that? It happened before. Okay? It happened before. And what happens is this. As you concentrate more and more wealth in the top 1%, right, or even percent of a percent, or whatever, okay, the spending power or the economic power for the rest of the world decreases because the wealth is locked up with a very few. Now, those very few, they buy very expensive things, sure enough, but they do not consume in the same way as the rest of the world consumes or would consume if they could. Now, consumption in and of itself, I have an issue with as well, but in order to keep the global economy going, you need it. As you take more and more wealth out of the middle class, because we're not talking about the poverty classes now, that wealth is no longer available for spending, right? Simple equation. 1 million people in the middle class will spend more than one billionaire. That's just how it is, right? That's a fact. Now, you take that spending power away from the middle class, from the millions and millions, really hundreds of millions of people that make up that class, and concentrate it at the top, economic activity will decrease. It's inevitable. Nothing else can happen. People will tighten their belts. They will not go on that extra holiday. They will buy the domestic brand of whatever, right? They will not buy a foreign car. They will look. Essentially, the less money is available to these people, the less money they spend, right? And the less money they spend, the more businesses will suffer, right? Because, well, you know, the businesses depend on the middle class to spend, not on the billionaires, not on the the top 1% of owners, as it were. No, we depend on the earners, the middle class. This is really, really important. These are the most important people. Okay. So just to be clear, about 1.1% of the global population holds about 45% of the global wealth. 1.1% hold 45%. Okay. That's a lot. 55% of the world's population holds about 1%. Now this is like an upside down kind of thing, right? 55% of the world's population hold 1.3% of the wealth, and 1.1% of the population holds 45.8% of the world's wealth. You're still not seeing that there's an issue here, a problem, right? This is getting worse. Every year, the chasm between the owning and the non-owning classes gets larger and larger and larger. Now, I'm not a communist by any means, and I'm not a communist because it doesn't work. Communism doesn't work because of people. Socialism doesn't work because of people. Capitalism doesn't work because of people. Democracy doesn't work because of, come on, you know it, that's right, people. Right? It all falls down as soon as you add people to the equation. Funny story, I saw this more than 20 years ago, and I was starting out in IT. I was working a great job. I mean, you know, the pay was miserable. It really was, but I really loved it. Miserable pay. And, I was looking after everything, servers, end user computing, like, you know, administration of everything. And in fact, if it plugged in, I would look after it. It was really, really cool. But there was one guy who was my boss. Well, he came in 3 times a week. He was a Unix guru, right? And he had, you know, obviously set up all the systems that I then helped administer. And he said this to me, you know, Mackie, we would have a great computer system. I said, oh, wow, okay. How? Well, you know, we just have to go to all the people, all the end users, and our systems would be flawless. As soon as you add people to the mix, you add issues. Right? And that's really what he was trying to tell me. The systems in and of themselves could operate beautifully if nobody ever interfered with them. But because people, things would break and things wouldn't work as efficiently or as optimal as they otherwise could. So it's always people. Now, but it is people because we were not allowed to grow up properly. None of us, most of us, never get to grow up, never get to fully develop their potential. We are all, for the most part, not all of us, but a lot of us, are being shaped and formed into perfect little cogs for the machine we all operate in operate at maximum peak efficiency without disrupting the gears of the machine, without rocking the boat. So we just fit into our place and the machine moves along quite smoothly. Anybody who doesn't fit quite into the machine is usually discarded by the machine or crushed. Discarded or crushed, either way, right? But if you can't get along with the machine, if you can't find your place within the machine, that's pretty much it. And we find our place in the machine through education. Education, the more education, the better. But sanctioned education. Education that is approved by society, the state, the scientific and religious establishments, right? Because they need to make sure that what you learn is in line with whatever you need to know for your life inside the box or the cave. And since this is Plato's cave, I'm going to use the cave analogy. So you want to live in the cave? That's cool, but you could be a certain kind of person, right? You got to accept the shadows on the wall as real life. You got to accept that there are limitations to your growth. In fact, you don't even really think about that too much. You just live your life, and you're so busy making ends meet that most of you don't have the chance to sit down and really think about it. Right, that's left for the privileged classes, the moneyed class, as it were. Right? They got all the time in the world to think about these things. That's why they are where they are. While the rest of us just works. Just work and work. And by the time we're in our 60s, 70s, we might retire. We might be living in a country that has a retirement plan. Good for you. If you don't, and you haven't been saving your pennies, then you're pretty much screwed. Okay? It's funny, in Southeast Asia, the fast food outlets are not staffed by teenage kids. I mean, sorry. Of course, there are teenagers working in fast food outlets. But you know what demographic is disproportionately represented in fast food outlets in Southeast Asia? The elderly. The elderly, 60s, 70s, you know, they're working at McDonald's and Hungry Jack's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and whatever. I mean, I'm not advertising any specific one here. As far as I'm concerned, they're all near food experiences and should be avoided like the plague. But they provide employment. And in Southeast Asia, because most of the Southeast Asian nations do not have a retirement plan or state pension or whatever, right? That's the only avenue these people have to live, to exist, if they haven't, you know, become independently wealthy or you know, put some nest eggs away while they were working. That's a reality. That's a reality. So if you're next to me in Southeast Asia and you think, oh, look at those old people working in fast food joints, it's not because they want to. It's not because, you know, this is keeping them young. It's because they have to. Because they have to. If somebody offers you tissues as you sit down in one of those eating houses, again, anywhere in Southeast Asia, you know, you got these outdoor eating places, street eating, whatever it might be, there may be elderly people coming, offering you tissues or you know, or wet wipes. Buy them. They only cost you like 50 cents or a dollar, but buy them because that's their living. They're making a living there, right? That's how they support themselves. So if you can do that, that'd be great. Just to make a point. So we are these cogs in the machine. And you know, you grew up and became that. A lot of the hosts on Revolution Radio are cogs that are somehow malfunctioning. The machine doesn't quite suit them. And they're not quite suited for the machine either. Now, in differing ways, and to varying degrees, and not just, of course, on Revolution Radio, but anyone that investigates for themselves the truth of the world, the truth of the nature of our existence, doesn't really fit comfortably into the machine. It's quite a feat for people to maintain a working relationship with the machine once you understand it. Now, I, for my part, have made peace with the fact that I have to live inside the machine if I want to have a family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? I'm okay with that to some extent. I still will speak my mind, and I will still try to figure it all out and see where it leads me. But I work within the machine. That's not easy once you understand how the machine works. And it makes you angry a lot of the time. I recommend yoga, meditation, or physical exercise to get rid of that energy that you feel, the angry energy, the nervous energy, whatever it might be, because you understand what's going on. Okay? You understand what's going on. And very few people do. And even when you talk to people, and it seems like they're understanding what you're saying, they don't really. And they don't really want to either. And to be honest, I can't really blame them for that, because it is a lot easier to simply accept what is presented to you as reality every day. Every day. Okay? So it is really, it's really up to you to figure out how it works for you. Should you start a political party, a movement? Well, if you can, great. But yeah, if you have the energy, and you know, you want to affect change from within, great, awesome. I mean, it can happen, right? I'm not saying it can't. It can, of course, can. But talk about the things you know. Tell all the people about it. Tell more people. I mean, it might be a lonely existence, because after a while, people might simply stop talking to you. Or you might be seen as entertainment. Oh, look, this is what entertaining conspiracy do you have for us today? Oh, that's funny. it puts me in mind of the Far Side cartoon. This is a herd of cattle, right, in a pen. And in the distance, you can see a factory. It's clearly an abattoir. It says abattoir on the factory, right? And there's one cow standing on its two hind legs, pointing to a chart which has a picture of a cow by its, butcher cuts. You know, like, so it's a volcano. You've seen this in the butcher. You know, this is a silver side, top side, flank steak, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the one cow is pointing at the chart, clearly talking about how the abattoir slaughters the cows and then cuts them up into meat. And the two cows in the foreground are saying, oh, there's Jerry again with his crazy conspiracy theories. That's pretty much where we are right now, okay? That's where we are. And books like 1984, Brave New World, Fahrenheit 451, to name but a few, they're no longer, they should no longer be regarded as fiction, but they're now your instruction manuals as to how we should exist in this world. And the funny thing is this. I don't know if you've read these books, but if you haven't, I do recommend it. And once you read them, you realize, hang on, I'm living this. Now, it is not as in your face or as stark as in the novel, right? Because the novel is meant to, I guess, brutalize your mind and really shock you. But if you look at all the things that are being described in these novels and all the things that, you know, might seem outlandish, if you really think about it, you realize they're all happening or have happened or are just about to happen. Okay? So we talk about, oh, you know, Big Brother 1984. We're there. I mean, Big Brother is an amateur compared to what we can do today. Okay. We're now working on reading people's brainwaves. And to be honest, and this is something where Solaris really can tell you more about it, but you know, about the psychotronics. We're already there. It's already being done, right? Forget about it. It's already happening. Thought control, or at least thought supervision and monitoring. Right? That's part of our reality, unbeknownst to us. The Chinese are introducing a social credit system, I guess we would call it. So everybody is in the system, in the computer system, and there's facial recognition, and it's really something else, I'll tell you what. This stuff is phenomenal. And just how accurate the facial recognition software is something that is quite scary. But anyway, so this social credit system, the way it works is people have social credit scores, right? And the idea is that, you know, if you're a nice person and people like you, your social credit scores are good. And you can do things like travel or buy cake or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the restrictions are or what the perks are, but certainly there are certain things you can and cannot do depending on your social credit score. Now, if you take this to the extreme, right, if your social credit score is so bad that nobody likes you, then the logical conclusion is that you need to be imprisoned. You need to be taken away. And maybe re-educated. That's a good idea. Let's re-educate these people. Because, you know, we don't waste human resources. We just re-educate them. We can do that. Or worst case yet, maybe we should execute them. I mean, if your social score is so bad, I mean, you really have ticked off everybody. And everybody's just, you know, giving you the thumbs down, right? Thumbs down. All right? Maybe they come away. That's why they come and take you away and then they shoot you. Or whatever they do, right? That's the logical conclusion. I mean, if you've got a system like that in place, I mean, where does it end? Where do you stop? Where do we say, hey, stop, this is no longer cool. This is insane. Stop. Of course, nobody will say that. Right? Because the social credit scores would go down if you did that. Now you think, oh, that would never happen in Western society. That's the Chinese, the crazy communists, they do that. Really? Now look at us here. Okay, now this is the Chinese. We know what the Chinese are doing. There they are. Okay, but look at us here in the West. We live on social media, right? We are bringing up now generations, no longer a generation, but generations of young men and women that are completely addicted to social media and their device, whatever device. I mean, these days it's really quite polar. Either you're an Android person or you're an iPhone person. That's pretty much where we've come to now, right? That's the demarcation, the new tribes, as it were. Neither is better than the other, and I don't care what people say. But we have now got everything in our phones, everything. We pay with our phones. We have our contacts, our phone numbers in our phones, all our pictures in our phones, because the cameras on these phones are phenomenal, not just photos, videos as well. We connect to all our friends and other networks through our phone. We work through our phone. Everything happens through the phone. And especially in social media, especially if we're active in it, we like for people to like what we post. Right? I mean, even if you use ancient technology as Facebook or even Twitter, and this is really ancient now these days. I mean, TikTok seems to be still fairly hip with the young kids, but even that is being phased out in favor of other and newer social media platforms. These are little grabs of 6 seconds, 10 seconds, you know, little snippets of 300 characters, 200 characters, whatever it might be. So this is not communication. These are just really spikes or memes or, you know, little blips that pop up on your social media feeds. And you like them or you don't like them. So, you know, either way. Or you can engage in a discussion on Facebook, you know, passionately arguing about things that don't matter at all. Or matter greatly, but again, who cares? Because it's Facebook, right? You're not going to change the world on Facebook. But the reason I'm mentioning this in the context of Chinese social scores is there are now children that emotionally dependent on, I guess, a positive feedback on the social media. Right? They've taken the cave to a whole new level. Right? So forget the world that you see around yourself, which I believe is a complete falsehood. These children are now not even looking at that anymore. They're looking at a miniaturized, tiny little screen version of the world, which we know is not real. Right? We know it's not real. It's in your phone. So your phone doesn't represent reality. But for these kids, it does. To the point where some children develop disorders or social anxiety. In worst cases, driven to suicide through cyberbullying. Cyberbullying. There was no concept of that when I was a child, many, many thousands of years ago, right? There was no concept for that. Cyberbullying, that was real bullying, I tell you that we had that. that was the thing to worry about. But cyberbullying, and the thing is, you know, if you get bullied in school, at least you can, you know, you can go home and you have, you know, you're away from the bullies, the physical threat, as it were. Or even the verbal threat. I mean, bullying is not just physical; it's verbal as well. But now that doesn't happen. These children are exposed to bullying 24/7. As long as you get access to your device, you can be a target. Not just target of bullying, but target for all kinds of predation. Okay, because you don't know who's at the other end of the keyboard or touchpad, for that matter. You don't know, right? And kids are being tricked into sending nude pictures of themselves, for example, right? Or meeting up with strangers, God forbid. But it's really the social aspect here I want to just think about for a second. So yes, the Chinese having this, you know, social scoring system. So do we. Nothing that was, you know, or maybe it was put in place deliberately, but, you know, something that seems to have evolved of its own volition and has now put our children in quite the bad spot, where, like I said, it could drive you to suicide. Your social media impact and the impact the social media has on you can lead to disorders. It can lead to social dysfunction. It can lead to mental disease. It can lead to death in its extreme form. It can. So we're no better than the Chinese that are actively pursuing this, because we have it. Make no mistake, we have it. Do you know what your children are doing on their devices? Do you have any clue? Are there any parental locks? Do they even work? Right? And what are they exposed to when you're not around? You don't know. And you don't know how other parents are. Are they more liberal with access to the internet? Because everything is on the internet. There's nothing you cannot find on the internet. There's nothing you cannot not find. Everything can be found on the internet. And even more if you go to the dark web. Oh my goodness. There's literally nothing that cannot be accessed. Think about that for a second. There's nothing like that when we grew up. Hey, Wally. Hey, Mitchell. How are you guys? There's nothing that can't be accessed. Right? Again, when I was a child, this is again, you know, we're talking the 60s, so late 60s and 70s, really the 70s for me. Books, magazines, my friends talking, but this Alibaba's cave of information that is the internet, nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. Right? Was the world a safer place? Well, maybe not. No, I wouldn't say it was a safer place. It was a different place. It was I guess, a more quaint place. Right? And information didn't move at quite the same pace as it does today. And it is a bit worrying because information seems to be speeding up and just snowballing as we are no longer capable of processing it all, even understanding where we're heading. We can't. Not meaningfully. We don't have the capacity to understand everything anymore. Right? Now, children, that's what our children grew up with. Now, look at your childhood. And again, if you're in your 50s or 40s, then you will have a fundamentally different childhood to what your children are having today. Fundamentally different. There's no comparison. Right? Just isn't. And how do we deal with that? I don't know. I mean, then you got this flood of people that are now identifying as this and identifying as that. Well, you know, I don't really have an opinion on that, except I believe, you know, a man should not be allowed in a woman's bathroom. That I believe that. That's one of my fundamental beliefs. it's not a good thing if a man goes into a woman's bathroom, even if that man identifies as a woman. Okay? Sorry, that's just not something that I condone, and I don't think that's a good idea. If you take care of your plumbing, right? Okay, fine. You change your plumbing to what you identify as, then yeah, knock yourself out. Then you do that. But as long as you still got your plumbing, nope, that's a no-go zone for you. Right? That's where I draw the line. Other than that, you can identify as whatever you like. You wear a skirt, you wear makeup, long hair, whatever it is. And vice versa too. Same goes for women that identify as men. Don't care. But there are certain limits. There are certain boundaries. And people, boundaries. Oh, we're talking about boundaries, Mackie. well, we do have to have them, right? Boundaries are important for a variety of reasons. And some of them actually make sense. But we seem to be doing away with it, okay? We seem to, because it's no longer necessary. Yeah, boundaries, meh. Right? We have allowed a generation of gender-confused children to grow up. Now, the vast majority of children are not affected by this, just to be clear, right? They know what they are. They, you know, there's no confusion. And, in fact, there hasn't been any change, I don't think, in children like this. I mean, some children, you know, are, you know, slightly different to others, and they do have certain aspects in their lives that, you know, would make them identify as the other gender. I think it's always been with us. It's not a new thing. We just bring it to the fore, and we're giving it, I think, more attention than it needs, right? Because if you give it all this attention, this undue attention, then people might think, oh, this is cool. It's a fashionable thing. It was fashionable for a time to be gay, right? Maybe still is. I don't know. But certainly when I was younger, in my 20s, in Sydney especially, yeah, it was a cool thing to be gay, well, or fashionable, or, you know, like non-threatening even, right? Again, okay, don't really care, but if that's not who you are, why pretend? But again, if your plumbing isn't designed for the bathroom you're entering, you're not getting into that bathroom. Okay? Sorry. If I see it, right, don't do it, because you won't like what happens. Okay? Just telling you. But can you see how we are living in a time where the puppet show has turned into a kaleidoscope of irrationality? So most of us live fairly rational lives, or more or less, and we knew, you know, around things that are permissible, not permissible. It's hard to tell these days what is allowed, what is not allowed. When I was a child, I had pretty clear boundaries. I had pretty clear guidelines as to what I could and couldn't do. And in fact, acceptable from a societal point of view, from a standards point of view, right? And it's really important to give children at least a guide stick, some kind of compass with which they can navigate the world. Right? If they change the compass in the future, that's okay. At least you've given them a starting point. That's what I think is important, especially in this world, which I believe is a complete hocus-pocus, puppet show, smoke and mirrors kind of affair. But you have to understand it first before you can examine the reality of it. Okay. You have to understand where the cracks are. You have to understand what doesn't make sense. So you have to understand the world as it is. And once you understand it to a greater or lesser extent, then you can start thinking about all the things that don't make sense, all the things that don't quite fit the picture, right? But you have to understand it first. And that's what we're lacking today. We've become permissive. We've allowed dubious moral codes to exist. It is clear to everybody that crime pays, right? It is beyond the shadow of a doubt that crime pays. I mean, our children see this, right, every day. Corrupt politicians, criminals, people that get off on parole and commit more crimes while they're on parole or whatever it is, right? So that's what we know. Our system is not working. Our system has failed. The, like I said at the beginning, the gulf between the rich and the poor is getting larger and deeper. every day. But there comes a point when it'll stop. There's only so much we can do, because I mean, we're living in a world of finite resources, right? At some point, the wealthy will own everything, and the vast majority will own nothing. And believe it or not, we are fast approaching that point. Like I said, the wealthiest 1% own about 50% of the world's wealth. The top 1% have 50% of the world's wealth. And if you still don't see a problem here, then, you know, maybe you should stay in the machine. Maybe you just, you know, you're good in the machine. Just be there. Me, I'm worried about that greatly. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I'm trying to raise awareness. I mean, what can I do about it? I don't know. Even the odds. I'm not rich, right? I'm okay. I'm a working stiff, but I'm okay, right? I want to make sure my kids are okay, my family's okay, and if I can help other people along the way, great. I will. I donate. When I can, to meaningful causes. Yeah, I'm aware of social issues. Try to do the right thing. Right. Try to leave the world a better place than the way I found it. But it takes more than people like me doing this. It takes the truly powerful, truly wealthy to do this. And I just don't see it. Not in any meaningful way. Like I said before, it costs $4 a day to feed a child. $4. Right? And yet thousands of children, tens of thousands of children are starving to death every day. $4. 2,668 billionaires. Right? How can that be? Forget governments. Forget the church. Forget the churches or the religious institutions in general. Forget all that. Forget the Red Cross, Amnesty International. Forget those. People. 2,668 people in this world could make this a paradise. Or if not a paradise, a place where nobody would have to starve to death. If those 2,668 people got together and pooled their wealth, not a single child would have to starve. Not a one. And that's just the beginning. Imagine what we could do. But no, we worship these people because they're achievers. Look at them. Oh my goodness, what a successful person. He's a billionaire. He's got a 200-foot yacht. He's got a super yacht. He's got a private jet. He's got 50 castles. That's what we admire. We admire the robber baron. We admire the ruthless conqueror, right? Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar. Slaughtered hundreds of thousands, those people. Hundreds of thousands of people. They're great historical figures. They're mass murderers, is what they are. They're mass murderers, right? But why do we admire them? The Roman emperors went to fight these wars to pay for games and other things in Rome so the people would vote for them. Well, not the emperors, you know, before they became emperors. But they, well, essentially did it to keep the people on side. You know, all these games and public food, you know, spectacles, gladiators, etc., etc. They cost a lot of money. So they, you know, especially, you know, Julius Caesar and Pompey and so forth, they went out to conquer these countries and get money, wealth, to take back to Rome to ensure their, well, their power, really, to ensure that they stayed in power. Right? That's what they did. Why do wars happen? I mean, do you ever wonder why do we go to war? Right? Because people tell us one idea is better than another. That's really it. Or one people is better than another people. Or my people need more space, so I'm going to kill all your people and I'm going to take your space. That's why we go to war. There's really no good reason to go to war. I don't know anybody that wants to go to war. right? Except the people at the top, because they've got the most to gain. The least to lose, the most to gain. The people that actually go to war physically, those are the ones that have everything to lose. Not the people that sent them there. Vietnam War, average age of the GIs was 19. There was a massive disproportionate representation of African Americans in Vietnam, in every war ever since. Right? So socioeconomically, the most disadvantaged, but good enough to die for the super wealthy, without ever having had a hope in hell of being able to attain that level of wealth or privilege. But they're good enough to die. Yeah. Absolutely. That's fine. Do the billionaires go to war? Do their children go to war? Politicians, their children? Well, I'm sure some do. But I bet you my bottom dollar, the vast majority do not go to war or send their children into harm's way. And that's not just, this is any country. This is any country in the world. The rich are almost like a separate race from the way they treat the rest of humanity. Okay? They have no common ground. They don't understand what it is like for people that have to work 3 or 4 jobs just to make ends meet. 5 jobs maybe. Who knows, right? There's no appreciation of the struggle that some people face. And in fact, there's this strong belief it's their fault. They're lazy. Anyone who's got more than 3 or 4 jobs, even 3 jobs or 2 jobs, they're not lazy. They're not lazy. They were just born in the wrong part of town. Maybe with the wrong skin color. Or the wrong ethnic belonging, or the wrong language, the wrong accent, the wrong religion. Who knows? Something was wrong. Right? And this machine that we're all in really has only one purpose, and that is self-perpetuation. Self-perpetuation. That's it. There's no other interest here of the machine. The machine is here to perpetuate the machine into infinity, if it could. Of course it can't, because eventually this particular machine is just going to crumble. Because more and more wealth, like I said earlier, will be concentrated at the top. At some point, that will destroy the economy. We've already seen some of the shockwaves that are preceding the total collapse. We've seen it. We're witness to it. Some of us might have suffered through it and lost money or who knows what, right? So we've seen what could happen. And when it happens, it'll happen very, very quickly. It'll happen very, very quickly. It'll happen in the blink of an eye. It'll crumble. Right? All I'm hoping is that you're all going to be prepared, right? It's just be prepared to ride it out if we can. Because, I mean, something will come after, right? Yeah, society will collapse. Civilization probably will as well as a consequence. It'll be hard for a while, in my opinion. But we can weather the storm. You can survive it. Just be prepared. But these systems can't go on forever. We're living the dream of unlimited resources and unlimited growth and unlimited consumption. Those dreams are now turning to nightmares because they're just not real. It's, I mean, forget the puppet show we all see every day. This is worse than the puppet show. This is a puppet show on steroids. Everybody's sold the dream. Well, you should be a movie star, you should be a millionaire. You know, if you're not, that's your fault, etc., etc. And people are driven into consumption, more consumption, buy this and buy that. And every year there's something new, and then people have, you know, there's these massive queues waiting for the new iPhone, or you know, you wait 6 months for your Tesla car, or whatever it is, right? Whatever you do, whatever your thing is. Ask yourself, why? How much can we consume? How much can we have? We have it all, I need all, I want it all, I need all of it. Give me all of it. I'm not immune from it. But my great Achilles heel is books. I love books, so I buy books, right? That's what I do. But it's we are all driven to needless consumption. Like I said before, and I'm going to say it again many times, I'm sure, my grandparents had things they had all their life. Pots and pans. They were cast iron. They lasted their whole life. Right? My grandfather had a bike that lasted him decades. Okay? Furniture. Right? You buy solid furniture. You buy a good piece of furniture, it'll last you your whole life. Maybe your children. No, we're living in a throwaway society. No, let's just buy something, you know, fashionable and then throw it away next year. Same with clothing, especially. That's a big one. Clothing. Oh my goodness. What's in fashion this year? What's in fashion? Oh, look at these people. Look at that fashion. I've got to wear this. I've got to wear that. That's insanity. Oh yeah. Oh, we're all going to buy the latest clothes. Wow. Really? I don't know. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. What can you do? Oh, thanks, Mitchell. Appreciate that, buddy. Thanks for your well wishes. I'll let Dave know. But yeah, it is no longer sustainable. It isn't. And then we all have to have strawberries all year round, right? And cherries. We have to add that. We can't have seasonal fruit. No. We have to have strawberries every day of the year. And we have to have cherries every day of the year. So, you know, we have these import chains and, you know, they move things around the world and, you know, do this and that. Rather than do what our ancestors did not too long ago. They ate whatever was in season. Oh, that's a good idea. Let's eat seasonal. Let's pickle our produce. Right, let's turn it into jam or let's preserve it somehow. So we have it in winter, or maybe longer than that even, right? No one does that anymore. Just go to the supermarket. Just buy whatever's there. Yeah, sure, let's do that. Most of us wouldn't know what to do if there wasn't a supermarket. Right? But make a mistake that the wealthiest, the top 1%, maybe even the top 1% of the top 1%, they are going to continue accumulating wealth at a terrifying rate, I should think. And the gulf between the classes is only going to widen. There's only a few minutes left in the show here, so I want to thank all the listeners for listening. Thank you very much. And I want to just remind you that this is listener-funded radio. And if you have the means and wherewithal to support the station, please do. This is the kind of content, I think, not just me, I'm just talking about the station in general. This is the kind of content that people need or should have access to if they want to. I'm not saying everybody needs to listen to this, but if you wanted to, you should have the ability to do so. And like I said, a lot of content on the station you might find disagreeable, and some things you might find quite agreeable. So that's entirely up to you. But everybody should have the right to express their opinion freely, right? As long as you don't hurt anyone else. That's really important as well. You shouldn't be malicious. If you speak the truth, good for you, right? And the truth is important. Maliciousness is not. Don't go away. Mitchell Bob is coming up with the best yeehaw in the business. And this has been The Cave with Mackie. Dave is not with us today. But most of all, be safe.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People's Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
The time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Revolution in the morning
at Revolution Radio freedomslips.com. Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare. And the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel, Mitchell.
Yeehaw!
it's time. It's Two for Tuesday, streaming at you live from Franklin County, Virginia. I'm your host, Mitchell Bupp. Welcome to this evolution of the revolution here on listener-supported, commercial-free Revolution Radio. So come on down to freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, where we're streaming around the world on iTunes, talkstreamlive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, just a few of the streaming services that Revolution Radio goes out on. And our newest addition is Roku. That's right, Revolution Radio is now streaming audio live through your television. It's a free channel on Roku. That's right, so join us, ladies and gentlemen, and get the straight truth, not that mainstream mind-controlled bullshit. Let's tell the truth. Instead of a story that is written by some political hack attempting to propagandize you into a position that aligns with theirs. That's not news. That's not information. That's good old-fashioned brainwashing, propaganda, and mind control. That is what the mainstream media stands for today. The unfortunate truth. Often the incomprehensible truth to many people, because they have been sheep-dipped into this false reality. Their point of view is that of the globalist, the pedophile, and the, well, let's just say, the powers that should not be. America is under attack pretty much every day. The only thing that stands in the way of the New World Order bastards is the Constitution of the United States of America. Not the shitbag politicians who can be bought and sold like prostitutes on a street corner. Not our judicial system that is corrupted to the core. You can always tell that democracy is dying as it rots from the head down. The United States government, the Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, the executive branch of the United States government, the judicial branch of the United States government, and of course the legislative branch of the United States government, are wholly under control of foreign powers today. Today they have control. They just don't have the absolute power that they want and they need to pull off their, how should we kindly say it, walking you into the gilded cage. And when you refuse to walk, off with your head. Yeah, that's our government today, isn't it? Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. If you didn't know, today is Two for Tuesday. That's right, with the Trump assassination files, 8 to 10 p.m. And of course, right now you're hearing the Revolution in the Morning show. The politically incorrect truth that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know. Does anybody really think CNN is honest? Does anybody really believe ABC, NBC, CBS, and fake Fox News? Anybody with a rational thought process? How true, how true. Call in and listen at 518-906-1839. Think about it. 518-906-1839 to reach Studio A. 518-906-1859 to reach Studio B. You hear that? Yeah, I'm searching for something. Well, here it is. Dun. Wasn't that hard to find?
Let's go to images, I guess, is the best way to do it. And let me just send this to somebody here in the Revolution Radio chat. Hey, David.
Yes, David Dunger. Here you go, my friend. Check out the chat. Follow the link, and you should find your picture. So God bless everybody. Come on down and get us. Get the truth. Yeah. All right. Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? And the question is, can you handle the truth? Can you handle it? Because most Americans are so in denial. You know, America is in such denial that it is the mother and the father of a child that denies that their child just overdosed from fentanyl or heroin or some other crap. Okay. You know, it's the denial that is so strong that you smell when you shit your pants before you can smell your own denial. If that's a crude way to put it, well, I hope you get the message. Let's get over here to news and information section of this show. Let's see. Let's see. Where should we start? Oh, I think we should start at this. Yes, well, this is a very private issue for people. You know, it's called abortion. You know, it's when people act more like animals than they do humans. Even though a human is an animal, we act like a dog. You know, as long as you get that, oh, what's that smell? Yeah, I guess that should have played Lynyrd Skynyrd. What's that smell this morning? But, you know, some would believe that we are all such animalistic driven people that we can't resist our urges, that we have no, you know, idea of what would you call that, restraint is. And, you know, should I boing her or shouldn't I boing her, you know? You know, listen, let's be honest. The man isn't just some mammal, okay? Man is not just some mammal. You know, we can think. We can understand the rational consequences of what tomorrow brings. You know, when a couple groundhogs or a deer or, you know, some other critter, you know, procreate, they have sex.
Just think about it. It's idiocracy as it seems. People would pretend that mankind has no control over their libido. That we can say no. But, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have that strength, that willpower, that those choices, right? But at the same time, we have to understand. We have to understand that if you give people an inch of rope, they'll take a mile, right? And that's the truth. People today have accepted abortion as a state-sponsored right. I don't believe it is, in all honesty. It's a right that goes back to the states, and the federal government has no say in it whatsoever. If you want to be a federalist, you know, and you want the federal government to take over everything, well, no way. No way in hell. I mean, this is just one avenue of what the left is trying to do in America. They're trying to effectively genocide young generations. Here's what one person said when being interviewed about abortion. The question is, do you believe in abortion after birth?
Believe in abortion after birth? Would you say?
I believe in whatever the woman wants to choose to do, that's her choice.
At any point of the child's life?
At any point of the lady's life, that's her choice.
To kill another person's body?
It's going to always be her choice.
Even after the baby's born?
It's always her choice.
So if they're 2 years old?
It's always her choice.
I can kill my 2-year-old?
It's a woman's right to choose.
Believe it.
So there it is. Okay. The idiocracy on steroids. The problem is today is we don't have rational, prudent, how should we say it? Thinking skills for many people. That's the sad state of the truth today. Abortion. It's a very personal and private matter. And it's none of anybody else's business as far as I'm concerned. That's something between you and your maker, or you and God, or you and Satan, or whatever. But if it's a baby is born alive, and then, you know, as someone told me, sacrificed to by a bunch of scum-sucking ass wipes in Georgia. Yeah, somebody told me a story. That they were invited to the Ravenwood Church in Georgia back in the 1970s, I believe it happened. A long, long time ago. Where she claims she witnessed a human sacrifice. Sacrifice of a little baby. That was alleged to be thrown on a bonfire as a tribute to Satan. Now, if you're not aware, not long after that, the Ravenwood cult and the leadership had been convicted of violent crimes, murder, and I don't know what all it was, manslaughter, you know, really involving around, you know, sacrifices. Crazy stuff, isn't it? Meanwhile, a blogger, so-called hate blogger, I say so-called hate blogger because you know, this is in Germany. I'm pretty sure this is in Germany. Allison Schablotz Tyler lost her appeal against her conviction for using grossly offensive terminology on the radio and on social media. Yes, she was convicted for saying that Auschwitz was a theme park. Jackass. Oh, no, it was just a work camp. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, she was also convicted of sending other grossly offensive comments on a public communications network at Westminster Magistrates Court. Yes, so they're, you know, hate is alive and well. It's just you have to hate the right person, and this person fits the bill, right? I mean, they fit the bill. A Graham Hart show podcast are hosted by Graham Hart. Sentenced to 32 months imprisonment for using anti-Semitic language, racial slurs in his live radio program. She asserted that the Holocaust was a central pillar of Judaism, and that Jewish children were brought up to be psychopathic maniacs. Oh, has she been to Chicago? Has she been to Tel Aviv? She been to Iran? Hey, I know. Has she been to Kiev and, you know, kissed up to the Azovs? That's a good question, isn't it? Man, if it's offensive, oh my God, it's offensive. Somebody said something offensive. Yeah, that's like I was telling somebody. Somebody got mad at me one time because I called the queen a lizard, a reptilian. How dare you say that about the queen? You're going to tell me she doesn't lay eggs? I mean, Christ. People are so full of themselves and so full of it on both ends of the spectrum. And, you know, the people in the middle are like, you're stupid. And you're stupid for letting her not talk so she looks stupid. Yeah. It's more crazy. Yeah, yeah. Come on down to Crazy Eddie's. You can get monkeypox shots now. Oh, my God. Yeah, you got to laugh, and you got to kind of love the globalists who, you know, are so busy pushing the next dystopian fear-mongering plandemic. You know, we have such a failure, a systemic failure in our medical and scientific systems today, because they're captured by politics. They're captured by the, how should we say it? The science is captured by the corporate fascists. The government is caught by the corporate fascists. And they're leading you into a hell that you don't even see coming. You don't even see it coming. The world terrorist organizations today, they are the World Economic Forum.
They are the Council on Foreign Relations. They are the Center for a New American Security, formerly run by Victoria Nuland. There's many others above and below these groups, each one rising to the top of the pyramid, where you find more and more the billionaires have bought your governments. I think the clearest and the most distinguishing, facet of the government of the commies in Canada, the National Socialists, that the World Economic Forum has overthrown their nation and has installed leadership that working with the propagandized media that they have are in the process or have already captured Canada. That Canada is under an international terrorist attack from within by its elected leaders who do not have loyalty to Canada and Canadians. Justin Trudeau has already said he has a higher loyalty. And it is not to the charter, it's not for the charter rights of Canada. It's not for the individual liberties of Canadians. And it is to Klaus Schwab and the New World Order. And that every American who is or was at the Davos meeting of the World Economic Forum, if you're a congressman, if you're a private citizen, and you have not filed as a registered foreign agent, you should be sent to prison. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeehaw! Come on down. Welcome back. It's Revolution Radio. Let's get the straight truth. Not that mainstream media mind control.
1, 2, 3, 4. I've told you so. I've told you so.
All right. Conspiracy music guru. Come on down and join him. Yeah, check out his music on YouTube. It's interesting stuff. I like some of it I'm not so hot about. But hey, isn't that how all the artists are that we like? Let's get back to some news and information that you would like to hear. Hey, couldn't happen to a dumber person. Governor Newsom in California has tested positive for COVID-19 shortly after getting his second booster. Yes, he received a prescription of Paxlovid or whatever the hell it's called. Yes. Anyway, on Saturday, the office of the governor of California announced that he had tested positive for COVID-19 and is taking antiviral medication to curb the infection's worst symptoms. Hey, dumbass. I thought the vaccines weren't supposed to get COVID. At least that's what you said at one time. That's what the CDC said at one time. That's what the FDA said at one time. That's what Rachel Lewinsky, I believe is her name, from the CDC. Hello. Hey, which part of the vaccine don't work?
Do you dumb sons of bitches know? I mean, really, you got to take the double shot, and then you got to take a booster shot every couple months or every 6 months. And there's an escalating problem that nobody's seeing. And, you know, the governor of California now has AIDS. I said it. The governor of California probably has AIDS. An autoimmune inficiency, deficiency syndrome. You know, in other words, I call it autoimmunity infectious deficiency syndrome, because that's what it is. It's an autoimmune response created by the body to all the spike proteins, and the spike proteins allow for a very high viral load to remain in the body. Why is this so dangerous? And, you know, I mean, you would think scientists would acknowledge the danger of, you know, keeping the body infected with a higher viral load and waiting for it to kind of fix itself or the vaccine to whatever, right? All they're doing is creating variants. That's the whole thing. That's the whole enchilada, so to speak. The whole enchilada, man. The vaccines create bodies, individuals that carry a higher viral load than normal. And I believe that this allows, now this is until, this is until the vaccine dissipates and wears off. We know it really quits providing protection anywhere from 3 to 4 months when out. And that's why you need boosters and a second booster. And you're going to need boosters for the rest of your life if you continue that regimen. But here's the other thing. It creates a high viral load in the body. This is why the PCR test is essentially is crucial now, because they have to determine the entire viral load of your body and not just a little bitty section of it, a cross section for the virus. I mean, that's how I view this whole thing. And, you know, the unintended consequences of the body maintaining a high viral load, what does that really do? Doesn't that create the evolutionary conditions for variants and subvariants and of COVID? And in all honesty, the natural inclination of the evolution of these variants will be maybe more infectious, but they will be less lethal. Being more infectious means that the CDC and the in California, where you know, the governor is getting sued because, well, they have no parameters to end the emergencies, whatever. And, you know, look, if you say you have a pandemic emergency, and after 2 years, you're still saying you have a pandemic emergency, the only emergency is that you need more power for government, and that the emergency powers gave you that control, that extra leverage over the people And you are never going to give it up. Meanwhile, while COVID was vanishing last year, the United States is recording more than 100,000 infections a day, five times higher than this point last year. And if you look at the people who are being infected or have the high viral load, which is what the PCR test checks, remember, the CDC came out and said that the emergency use PCR test, which is what people are generally using, cannot differentiate between influenza A, influenza B, or COVID, or any other coronaviruses, I would imagine. It just looks for the leftover garbage of destroyed viral infections and destroyed viral cells in your saliva. Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it? It really is. Well, it's no crazier than if you're a stripper. That's right. If you're a stripper, if you're a pole dancer, you know, you can pick stocks better than the average stockbroker. Better than bankers. Anyway, the stripper, adult entertainer, said, you know, it's that they, the strippers, are a leading indicator of economic health. Adding that we are already in a recession. And the problem is that strip clubs, exotic dancers, and, you know, all that lurid entertainment for business clients, for business personnel, for fat cats who have a lot of spendable money, right? Whereas strip venues, strip clubs, are basically an operational tool for business people. And not just for, you know, sinful entertainment. Strippers have always been aware of the fluctuations in the market and how upper middle class men behave and their spending habits. Ask any stripper. We have to be aware of how the rich people are going to spend their money. Stripping is betting on how the rich will spend their money. Anyway, maybe she should stop stripping and start investing. Maybe she could have other assets that she doesn't have to pimp out. Just saying. A man in France was arrested for smearing a cake on the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. Yes, a 36-year-old man has been arrested and placed in psychiatric care after he smeared a glass screen encasing the Mona Lisa with cake. Yes, it was a purported protest against artists not focusing enough on the planet. Yeah, so the treasured work by Leonardo da Vinci has been the target of vandalism attempts in the past. It's unharmed due to its bulletproof glass case. And, you know, if somebody would shoot a 50 cal, I don't think the bullet proof case would matter much. Hopefully it's a high quality
forgery that is just as good as the original, or a hologram would be better, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, speaking in French, the man says, they are destroying the earth. The people are destroying the earth. All artists think about the earth. Why? That's why I did this. Think of the planet. Yeah. Anyway, the Mona Lisa has been behind glass since a Bolivian man threw a rock at the painting in 1956, damaging her left elbow. In 2005, it was placed in a reinforced case that also controls temperature and humidity. Well, of course it should. In 2009, a Russian woman attempted to throw an empty teacup at the painting, which slightly scratched the case. Anyway, the Louvre is the largest museum in the world, housing hundreds of thousands of works that attract about 10 million visitors a year before the COVID. Now, this is a Yahoo News article, so considering Yahoo News is about half propaganda, just making you aware of that. Everything's a setup for something else. That's how I look at it. Meanwhile, Joe Biden went to Uvalde, Texas, where Joe Biden calling for gun legislation. And made more false claims and misrepresentations and everything else about the Second Amendment. But of course, Joe Biden isn't known for being too honest or accurate. Anyway, Biden claimed that you couldn't buy a cannon when the Second Amendment was ratified after paying tribute to the victims of the school shooting in Texas. We know that is an utter falsehood. You know, when the Second Amendment was passed and you couldn't go out and purchase a lot of weapons, 100% false. Before his death, former Justice Stevens said that we should eliminate the Second Amendment, that the Second Amendment was basically for a time when the people of America might have to stand up against a, you know, the army of the American government. Justice Stevens believed that that time had passed. But if he was living here today and understanding that the National Socialists joining hands with the national fascists have seized the Democrat Party. And, you know, and many Republicans are joining them because, oh, it's the system, it's the system, it's the system. We got to protect the system. The system isn't controlled by our government anymore. The New World Order is real. If you believe that it's false, well, that's your stupidity, not mine. If you don't want to hear the truth that your government doesn't work for the American people anymore, if you don't want to hear that, you can live in denial. But one day you will have the knock at your door. You will have the phone call. You will be canceled on social media because you said the wrong thing.
Democrats believe. They really believe that they are superior to you and everybody else. They believe they're educated and they're open. They believe in equality. They believe in equal rights. Yet at the same time, they push for unequal rights. They push for quota systems. A great example is, I believe, in San Francisco. Good old San Fran feces. The shitty by the bay. Where one of their elite charter schools effectively used racism to choose who was going to go to the school. They judged people by their skin color for their qualifications to get in to that academy. They used blatant racism. Excuse me. To break down the doors of the meritocracy that they said was racist, was colonial style, was terrible. Well, that elite school, a record number of freshman students in San Francisco's elite Lowell High School, earned D and F grades this past fall. The first semester after the school board eliminated merit-based admissions because they were deemed racist by a former San Francisco Board of Education Commissioner Allison Collins, who was ousted along with two other board members in a February recall over the admissions debate and other issues. We have to understand. You have to be colorblind. You cannot say, oh man, the poor, the blacks and the Hispanics are underrepresented here because they didn't get the best grades. And so now we're going to discriminate against the Asian kids and Caucasian kids. Period. End of story. Democrats embrace racism as they always had. Of the 620 freshman students at Lowell, 24.4% received at least one D or F during the fall semester, compared to just 7.9% of students in the fall of 2020 and 7.7% from 2019. This, in all honesty, is an indictment of the entire educational system. But of course, it's race-based. The truth is, the kids in the other schools would probably learn a lot more from each other trying to learn, teach each other, than stripping. See, and this is another reason why I do not like magnet schools. I do not approve of taking the smartest, the brightest, the so-called most talented, to remove them from the population, from the general population, and put them into their elitist programs. And I say elitist because, well, it's not the general population. These are elite magnet schools. They have them here in Roanoke. And what happens when you take the smart kids out of the general education system Of course, grades are going to drop overall for everybody in those schools as the school average, right? But there's another thing here. The leadership skills that children would develop, whether it be on the sporting fields of sport, field of sports, whether it would be academically or socially, that those leadership skills are never developed. But the really horrid thing to me, and I see it all the time, you remove the smart people and the dumb people, so to speak, the people that can't grasp topics real easy. You know, it may be a specific topic, you know. It's like a nerd, a computer engineer, computer specialist. They know a hell of a lot about computers, but they might not understand jack shit about auto repair or construction. By removing everybody from each other, the kids particularly cannot teach themselves amongst each other. So the communication skills in peer groups and in generations, you know, but we have teachers that are displaced from these generations and they're reading from a book. And they really don't have the communication skills with the peer groups of high school kids and you know, middle school kids or elementary school kids. They just can't. But those kids can teach amongst themselves. And I think that is the biggest failure, is we don't learn from each other. And if we don't learn from each other and we're segregated for one reason or another when we're young, it will be a lifelong deficiency of social reality. We'll be back. After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi.